Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. Let's begin reading there. Y'all ready to read? Y'all ready? I'm excited today because we're going to talk about what it is to get clothed for access. Get clothed for some access. So we're going to learn about some access. I got a several point sermon, but I'm actually just going to give you 1 point this morning. Is that all right? I'm going to just get into that. Just give you the 1 point this morning. Zechariah 3, verse 1. "Then he showed me Joshua the high priest." I like that phrase. I like that. "Then he showed me." It's as, here's a guy, Zechariah and Joshua were contemporaries. I mean, they knew each other. But what the prophet is saying is that God revealed Joshua to me. It's like I didn't see this before. I got a divine, I got a heavenly, you know, insight into who is this Joshua guy. And so God gave him a revelation of Joshua. And you see, at that time, the work of the Lord was struggling, going through some difficulties, and they needed this prophetic moment to take them into another realm. And they had this prophetic moment because they needed to be clothed with a greater revelation to take them into and give them access to a new season that God was taking them into. It's actually really good. It's really, really good, I'll tell you. It's good. "He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, standing there, and Satan standing at his right hand to be his adversary and to accuse him." Now, whenever the Lord wants to take you into a new realm, whenever the Lord wants to take you into another season, whenever the Lord wants to take you into a deeper revelation of himself or a greater realm of blessing or authority, the devil is always there to accuse and to say, "I want to shut this baby down before it gets started." It is right. I'm telling you, he's always there. He's right there, and he doesn't accuse you at the left hand. He tries to accuse you at the right hand. He tries to get you in your place of strength, and the enemy will always try to accuse and beat you down. So there he was. He saw Joshua, and he saw Satan standing ready to accuse, and the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, O Satan." Settle down. I know that's exciting. "The Lord rebuke you. Even you. Is not this returned captive Joshua? Is he not a brand plucked out of the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and he was standing before the angel of the Lord. You may be in a situation where you feel like you're in fire. You're in the midst of a situation where it's a mess. I mean, you just got torched by everything, all your circumstances. I mean, you had incredible hopes and incredible dreams. And I mean, you're just about snuffed out and there's nothing left. And as far as you can see it, oh my God, what a mess I'm in. You know, the Lord doesn't see it like that. The Lord sees that situation. He still sees you. He sees his purpose. He sees his strength. He sees his ability. He even sees the fact that you're sitting there wallowing in your filth and your difficulty and your circumstances. And the devil, he's been there screaming at you, yelling at you. "Look at you, you filthy, rotten, ugly thing. You're unable to produce fruit. You're not manifesting anything worthwhile. Look at you." But then the Lord says, "I rebuke you, Satan. Is not he a brand?" I mean, he's a brand that I have plucked from the fire. Wow. He's a brand. Have you ever seen a brand? Have you ever seen those westerns where they take the brand out of the fire and they go, psh, and whoa, the old cow, arr! But then you know that cow, you know who that cow belongs to, because that cow's got a brand. I tell you, I have been a brand plucked from the fire. And God's been taking me all over the place. And you can go to India, you can go to Cuba, you can go to Brazil, you can go to places in America, you can go across Canada, you can go places where I've been, and I have left a mark. And you can go there and go, "Smells like Carl's been here." Because there is a brand called me, and I was pulled from the fire. I can't do it. But God pulled me out of the fire, and he rebuked the devil. And he said, "Is this not my brand? Is this not a weapon in my hand to tear apart the kingdom of darkness?" Boy, that wasn't in my notes, but that was good. I'm in a drinking relationship with my Savior. Haba Shinge. Joshua, clothed in filthy garments, standing there, he spoke to them who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And he said to Joshua, behold, I have caused your iniquity to pass before you, and I will clothe you with rich apparel. Say rich. Yum, yum. I will clothe you with rich apparel. And Zechariah said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head. See, Lord's going to crown you with a new crown. You see, if you're going into a new day, you're going to go into a new level. There's a new outfit. There's a new uniform. We're going into a new day, and you're going to get a new turban. You're going to get that old turban, the turban that's weighed down, the mindsets that hindered you and kept you down. He's going to tear that from off of you, and he's going to put a new turban on your head. He's going to put a new mindset on your head. He's going to give you new insight and revelation. He's going to take you into a new day of glory and power and authority. He said, take them and put a new turban on his head, and he clothed him with rich garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Isn't that good? The angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord solemnly and earnestly protested and affirmed to Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and you will keep charge, then also you shall rule my house, and you shall have charge of my courts, and I will give you access to my presence and places to walk among those who stand here. Very interesting. Those who stand where? Here. You got to see, and I believe the Lord speaking to us over the next several weeks, I'm going to talk about having access and being clothed for access into new realms. God's going to give us new authority, and he's going to enter us into new realms, and we're going to walk in a greater way and a greater revelation than we ever have before. And you're going to look in the mirror and go, my God, God showed me Carl. And you're not going to see things as they were before, but you're going to be a brand pulled from the fire that's clothed in rich, glorious apparel. And you're going to be one who's going to be honoring him and obedient to him. And you're going to be one who lives out of the access of his presence. And you'll walk amongst those that are in his presence, and you'll live out of the realm of glory. So we're going to talk about what that means and the realms you can walk in and how to do it instead of just, woo, we want to really, really do the stuff. Amen. Good, good, good. All right, so we want to enter into this new season. We want access to this. There are places in God that only the Holy Spirit can take you. There are places in God that only the Holy Ghost can take you. You cannot live out of the old man. You cannot live out of your old self, but you have to be living and abiding in that drinking relationship with the Holy Ghost. Luke 24:49, he said, stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high, till you fall into that garment, which is the anointed one. Abide in the city. Don't move. Don't try to do a single thing. Don't try to fulfill God's purpose in your life without being clothed with glory from on high, because where God wants to take you, it can only be a realm you go into clothed in the very glory of God. You do not have access to go into those things without the garments that God himself will wrap you with and provide for you. A lot of people trying to live out a supernatural destiny without the supernatural impartation and revelation of that is necessary to live in that realm. Genesis 24:14, it says, but Joseph first shaved himself, he changed his clothes, and he made himself presentable. Here's Joseph. I mean, he's been tossed in jail. I mean, everything he went through, I mean, he was just suffered at the hands of other people, and he never complained, never grumbled. He kept his eyes focused on the purpose of God for his life. And here now, finally, here he is, and Pharaoh is called out and said, get that Joseph cat and bring him here. And Joseph realized that this is a new season in my life. I'm about to step into my destiny. And it doesn't say that they told him to do it. It says, and Joseph, first of all, he shaved himself and he changed his clothes. And he said, I'm stepping into a new day. I'm coming out of the prison. I'm coming out of the bondage. I'm coming out of the narrowness. I'm coming out of every limitation. And I'm going to walk clothed as a new man. I'm going to step into a new day. And I am preparing myself for a great breakthrough in my life. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. My time. You got to step into your destiny. You're not going to fall into it. You will never fall into the glorious purposes of God. If you think you can just wait around and hang around and kumbaya, and then one day God will finally elevate you and it'll all just break open and happen, you never fall into your destiny. I mean, you got to aggressively go after it. You got to desire it. You got to be in passionate pursuit of it. And God says, come up here. He never says, fall in here. He says, come up here, which means there's some climbing to do in the purposes of God for your life. 2 Kings 2:12-15. And he took hold of his own clothes and he tore them into two pieces. Come on. I mean, here's somebody who passionately wanted to move into another season in his own life. He knew what it was to leave his father. He burned the plow. He burned the oxen. He went after and he served the prophet. He washed his hands. He didn't do a single thing except the prophet spoke to him. And he subjected himself totally and completely to this man of God. But he knew that it was time for this man to go. And he said, I want a double portion of your spirit. And you don't fall into something like that. And even the prophet tried to say, stay here. I'm going ahead. And he says, I'm not letting you out of my sight. I mean, that's amazing when even the Father in the Lord is telling you, wait here, stay here. I mean, it seems like even the person who had been his mentor was resisting him in a place of his own experience. And yet he said, I'm not going to let you out of my sight. And he entered into every experience with him. And he embraced every situation. And he would not let him out of his sight. He said, what do you want? You know what I want. I want the portion of the firstborn. I want the portion. I want that portion for me. I want to be the crown prince. And I want to walk in the crown prince anointing. And he didn't let him out of his sight. And he took hold then when he says, if you see me when I go. Says, if you're there when I go, and if you see me when I go, he says, you will walk in that, it'll be yours. So sure enough, bam. I mean, when the heavens opened up, the cloud of God opened up, and the glory realm was manifest. Woo, awesome stuff. And he saw that he went, but he saw the mantle. And he saw that the mantle fell. And you know what? You'll never put on the mantle that's going to move you to another level if you continue to wear the garments of the level you're at. You're never going to step into that new realm. They will not fit you. They are well fitted. You cannot take that new anointing and you cannot put it on top of all your muck, your mixture, your stupid thinking and your stupid ways of behaving. That was good, Pastor. You know what? Something got to change. You know what? Right there, he took his servant mantles. He took those and he tore everything and he stood there and he put up the mantle of Elijah and he took it up and he didn't take it up in fear or wondering, is God with me? He literally said, where, O Lord God of Elijah, where do I strike the water now and part now supernaturally into my destiny? Powerful stuff. And he took hold of his own clothes and he tore them and he took up also the mantle of Elijah. And then all the other people went and they looked, went, my. The mantle of Elijah rests on Elisha. There's got to be a change in your life, a recognizable difference. It's got to be something that happens that other people now recognize that you've gone through a massive transition and you've come to another level in God. A recognizable demonstration of greater authority and a greater realm of his understanding. 2 Kings 2:12-15. We just read that, right? Well, let's not read that again then. Ephesians 4:22-24. And he took hold of his own clothes. That's not it. Ephesians 2:24. I got it here. Strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which is characterized by your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion. Be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental spiritual attitude. Put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, godlike in true righteousness and holiness. So you've got to strip yourself of that old man. You got to strip yourself of that former nature. You've got to discard all of the unrenewed self. And you've got to live out of a new spirit in your mind. A revelation of that godlike impartation of Christ. Judges 6:34. We see another fellow getting clothed. Here's Gideon. I mean, Gideon's in a wine press trying to make a biscuit. I mean, that's a pretty stupid thing to do. But he was afraid of their enemies. And they would come and steal everything. So he went and he got just a bit. And he says, they're not taking this biscuit. I'm going to have this. I mean, that was pretty good. I reckon that was all right. At least he said, I'm going to hang on to something. At least I'm going to grab some of mine. And there he is trying to get a biscuit in a wine press. But God came to him. God spoke to him and said, you are a mighty champion. And he didn't understand who he was. But even Gideon, before he entered into the purpose of God for his life, he had to change his garments. And it says, but the Spirit of the Lord clothed him. I love that. The Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with himself. Isn't that nice? What did Gideon get clothed with? I mean, literally, the Spirit of God put on Gideon and clothed him with himself. And it says he took possession of him, and then Gideon blew the trumpet. You know, you come out, you got to get changed to come out of that narrowness. You got to get changed to start to step into that wonderful new anointing. I tell you, but then the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you and you can blow the trumpet and you can destroy every adversary of your circumstances and situation. I mean, we are so equipped to overcome, it's unbelievable. We literally have to snatch defeat from the jaws of certain victory. We are so absolutely blessed. Can you say amen? Amen. Can you say praise the Lord? Can you say mugachi? That means joy, mugachi. Can you say mugachi? You know how you say glory? Muggy my. Muggy my. I just shout muggy my about 50 times through the sermon. It's all good. Then Pastor Jacob gets drunk and we all have fun. Muggy my! It is good. He gets clothed with the power of God to destroy every one of our enemies. Now, quickly, I want to go into this, all right? I'm going to deal with the first realm right now. Just one realm this morning. Amen. Because, quite honestly, I'm jet lagged. And it's good. We want to deal with the realm of transformation. The realm of transformation. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, this word transformation is found four times, twice about the transfiguration on the Mount of Transfiguration and two other times, one time in Romans 12 and another in 2 Corinthians 3. But there is a realm that you step into, and it's a realm of transformation. And in the realm of transformation, there's some very interesting benefits in the realm of transformation. That word is the Greek word metamorphosis. And metamorphosis is like where that caterpillar turns into a butterfly. That's why I had that little butterfly in the background. Isn't that pretty cool? Yeah. Did you see that? Pretty neat, eh? You ever wonder what a butterfly thought about on his first day as a butterfly? You ever wonder about that? I mean, how cool must that have been? I mean, he's groping along the ground like, you know, a little worm and pulling up these little trees. And what a worm am I? And then all of a sudden, goes through this metamorphosis. And suddenly, unbelievable, but things look different from here. I mean, you are so close to the ground. You're pulling along in the muck and the mire and the grub of life. And then all of a sudden, one day you pop out of this thing. You go, phew. You're going, how awesome am I? I mean, things look real different from here. I'm telling you. I tell you, that was pretty ugly, but it's been worth the trip. Except for those ones that only live, what, a day or something, and they die. That's pretty rough. But I tell you, there is a transformation in God where you literally go to such a radical different realm. I mean, living out of your carnal mindsets and living in the Spirit, it's the difference between crawling on your belly and soaring in the realms of God. And see, too many Christians are just barely saved enough to get into heaven. And yet God doesn't just want to get you to heaven. He wants to get heaven in you and manifest his goodness in the earth right now. But if we don't understand that, we need to enter into the realm of transformation. Romans 12, 2. But be not conformed to this world or this age or fashioned after or adapted to its external superficial customs. Be transformed, being changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals, its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself. Prove it for yourself. Prove it for yourself what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. In his sight for you. See, there is a place in his sight that God wants you to live out of. There is a place in him that he wants you to prove, that he wants you to appropriate, that he wants you to live out of. He doesn't want you to live out of the here and now. He doesn't want you to be subject to the affairs of the earth. He wants to sever you from the ties. He wants to sever you from being grounded and sucked down by the gravity of mediocrity. And he wants you to fly in the realms of glory and live in a supernatural existence. And he wants you to live out of the realms of glory He wants you to prove and live out of those things that are perfect and pleasing in his sight. I'm in a drinking relationship. Another place. Come on, let's go to 2 Corinthians. Don't be afraid to use your Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Another place is word transformation, transfiguration, metamorphosis. We want to live in a realm of transformation. See, that's what happened to Joshua. He got into that realm of transformation. He got into that place where God clothed him to live in and walk out of a new level. And he said, if you are faithful in my house, I will give you access to my presence, and I will give you access to them. To them. Who's them? I will give you access to those people right here. Where's that? In heaven. And see, if you enter into the realm of transfiguration, you get to operate. He says, I will let you walk amongst them, and I will give you access to these things that are here, and you can literally live out of the heavenly realm. And we want you to know what it is to live in the realm of transfiguration, transformation. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is Lord. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, not where the Spirit of the Lord is. What a brutal translation. And they all say that. But it's not where the Spirit of the Lord is, because let me tell you, the Spirit of the Lord is everywhere. There's not a single place where the Spirit of the Lord is. It says in the Word of God, where can I flee from your presence? Where can I go from your Spirit, Lord? Where can I? Nowhere. I mean, he's everywhere. If you go down to the pit, he's there. His presence is everywhere. And it's not where the Spirit of the Lord is. It's where the Spirit of the Lord is Lord. That's the exact translation. The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is Lord, there is freedom. There is transformation. There is liftoff. There is a breaking from the things that hinder you and the chains that bind you. But where the Spirit of the Lord is received as Lord, there is liftoff into the very realms of God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is Lord, there is emancipation from bondage and there is freedom. And all of us with an unveiled face, which means you tear off, you rend your robes and your garments, you rend the fleshly realm. Too often we try to approach God with our fleshly, unrenewed, carnal mindsets fully intact and driving everything we do. You cannot do that. He is Spirit and he must be interacted with by Spirit. The Lord is a man in truth, but in Spirit. We got way too many worship services that begin in the flesh and often stay in the flesh because everybody stays in the carnal realm and we never enter into the service that God ordained. Come on, Pastor. Come on. That's right. We must enter into the realm of transformation. If we don't enter the realm of transformation, we can never live out of the heavenly realm, never day to day or every time we gather have all that God wants if we don't understand what it is to enter into the realm of transformation. What am I shouting about? It's just more fun to preach that way for me. It's hard to listen to on the tape later, but praise Jesus. All of us with an unveiled face because we continue to behold him in the Word of God as a mirror, the glory of God. We are constantly being transfigured in his own very image in ever increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Thank you for that one grunt of approval. Let's go to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. I'm going to reinforce this in the weeks to come. I'm going to talk about these different realms. But I want you to enter into them. But we can't even get in if we don't embrace, first of all, the realm of transformation. You know, if you don't know him as your Savior, you need to know him. You can never understand the things of God unless the Spirit of God reveals them to you. But even as believers, as we see in Ephesians 4, Paul's talking to the church. And he says, church, you've got to put off the carnal mindsets. You've got to put off the things that keep you nailed to the ground. You've got to put off the old man and his tendencies. And you've got to put on the new man. Being renewed day by day constantly in the Spirit of God. We must enter into the realm of transformation. Here's the transformation. Matthew chapter 17, and 6 days after this, and what's interesting is at the end of the last chapter, he says, many of you here will still be alive to see the glory of God, to see the kingdom. And you see, right after that, bang, bam, And the very next word is and, which is a conjunction, which ties all these thoughts together. And what he's saying is that the transfiguration was a manifestation of the kingdom. And it wasn't that some of you are going to be alive to see, you know, the Holy Spirit, and they were and all of that. But he said, some of you, very soon, you're going to see the kingdom of God come in expression and manifestation. And 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and James and John, his brother, and they led him up a high mountain by themselves. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? You know, if you think that you're going to get great revelations and visitations of God by sitting in the valley and wallowing in your self-pity, it's not going to happen. Because you know what? Jesus wanted to take them into a deep revelation, a life-changing experience. He wanted to reveal to them the kingdom. It doesn't happen by climbing a molehill. It comes by going up with him to a high mountain. It's going to take some people that are willing to go a little further, press a little farther, go a little more beyond. Are you feeling me today? He took them up a high mountain by themselves, and his appearance underwent a change in their presence. I mean, this is amazing stuff. I mean, they're up there in this high mountain, and they're hanging out and going, whew, I tell you, I should have laid off some of that beef strip loin last night. John's like, man, I've been telling you, Peter, lay off the rice and beans. You've been pounding them back pretty good, because I didn't think you were going to get up here. I know it was pretty rough today. Then all of a sudden, Jesus, like, holy cow, look at him. You know, what happened? Where'd that come from? You see, what was on the inside began to come on the outside. So you got something on the inside of you that's got to get on the outside of you. There's got to be that new clothing. That filth has to go. And you know what? It gets taken from you. Some people striving so hard to get righteous. You don't get righteous. You are righteous. And he comes and he takes that filth and he takes what the enemy tried to do and he takes every foul word of the enemy. He clothes you afresh and anew and he rebukes every devourer and every enemy of your soul. And he says, I have set you up to have access to my presence. Yay, Jesus. And so here he's going through this transformation right there in front of them. His appearance underwent a change in their presence and his face shone clear and bright. Let me try to explain it to you if I can. It was clear and bright. It was like the sun. You ever looked at the sun? Don't do it too long. Boy, you get spots and get ugly. But I mean, literally, they're saying, all of a sudden, bam. It was like looking at the sun. It was so bright, this transformation. It was clear and bright. And his clothing became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah. And I love this. Who kept on talking with him. Not talked with him, but they kept on talking with him. I mean, imagine these guys. They go, holy wow. I mean, Peter says, this is really cool. We should build these guys 3 homes up here. I mean, maybe we could, you know, set up a McDonald's and get a franchise for a few other things too. I mean, this is a pretty holy mountain up here. Let's set up a couple booths and let's charge admission. I mean, this is some pretty cool stuff. Massive transformation. These guys start talking. I mean, where did they come from? I mean, where did these guys come from? I mean, they're up there, a high mountain, nobody else there. All of a sudden, Jesus goes through a transformation. Suddenly, they're surrounded with a great light. And all of a sudden, there's Moses and Elijah, and they keep talking to him. Like, what amazes me today is that people out there are saying that, you know, we shouldn't be talking to people who've already gone on because they're dead. Well, they're not dead. Like Paul said, don't believe it. I mean, D.L. Moody said, there's a day that they'll tell you that I'm dead. Don't believe them. I'll be more alive then than I ever was. What's Jesus doing talking to these dead folk? Said in Zechariah, I'll give you presence. I'll give you access in my presence to them. I'll let you walk amongst these people here and I'll give you access. And I'll give you authority and rule over the things that are precious to me. How many think it'd be pretty cool to... I mean, here's Jesus. I mean, he's the Son of God. And suddenly, his glory and his majesty comes into manifestation. And if you study the word in some of the parallel gospels, it says what they were talking about was his exodus. They were talking about how things are going to be summed up. And Jesus going, so how's it look from up there, guys? What's happening? Cool, good. Yeah. Because, I mean, I'm going to go on soon. I'm starting to turn the corner, heading towards Jerusalem. What do you think? It's going to be pretty wild. I'm telling you, it's pretty cool. But I'll tell you, don't forget, you know, this is an awesome plan. And they kept talking to him. They kept talking to him about the summing up of his mission. How many would like to have that kind of revelation about the summing up of your mission? How many like to have sometimes heaven drop in and start to talk about, how am I doing? How's it look from up there? What's going on? We'll come up here and we'll show you. We shouldn't encourage people. It's in the Bible. You'll never enter into what God wants you to do if you don't clothe yourself with a new mindset and a new revelation to step into what God really wants for you. Because the days that are coming are days where things are going to shake and things are going to rip apart. And you're going to need to be anchored in the realms of glory. Okay, let me just move on because I know you're too excited to breathe. So then this is always interesting. Then what? Then, of course, Peter began to speak. I don't know about you, but I'd be like face down going, oh my God. But Peter's like, hey! Love Peter, gotta love him. So Peter then said to Jesus, Lord, it's really good and delightful that we're here. If you approve, I'll make you three little homes here. Little condo for Moses, you know, and a little room with a view over here for Elijah. I'll put three booths here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, behold, a shining cloud composed of light overshadowed them. Peter, shut up. I know it didn't say that. But here's Peter, blah, 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 blah. He's about to ruin a good moment. Here comes another rush of carnality. The light begins to increase. And Peter's like, is that a yes or... While he was still speaking. I love that, don't you? It's getting really bright in here. While he was still speaking, behold, a shining cloud composed of light overshadowed them, and a voice came from the cloud. This is my son, my beloved, with whom I am. With whom I am. And have always been. Oh, I love that. I'm enjoying this, I think, more than you. I don't know, but I tell you, I get that. I really, really get that. I get that. Because he's with me, and he's always with me. Oh, Shaba Binge. Okay. I have always been with him, and I am delighted in him. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces. They were seized with alarm and struck with fear. But Jesus came, and he touched them, and he said, get up. Don't be afraid. And when they raised their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And that's wonderful. When you get that kind of a slam with the glory of God, when you raise your eyes, there's nothing else that you see but Jesus only. Have you ever been slammed like that? You ever been hit so hard with the glory of God that when you lifted your head from that point on, you could only see Jesus? You haven't been hit hard enough with the glory of God, if you can lift your head and see anything else. When the glory is that powerful, and I want the glory to be like that for me, that when I lift my head, no matter what I do, in everything and through everything, all I see is Jesus. Jesus. Isn't it interesting that other people show up in the glory? Other people show up in the glory. In Zechariah chapter 3, he said, if you will walk in my ways, if you keep my commands, then you shall also judge my house. I'll give you authority in my house, and likewise you'll have charge of my courts, and I will give you places to walk among these who stand here in the presence of the Lord. And you know, when you get in the glory of God, when you get into that transformation and that transformed realm, literally the heavenly realm, which is more real than the natural realm, will become more real to you than the muck and the mixture that you're attached to. And you can begin to rule and operate out of that heavenly realm. You can begin to put a demand on heavenly wisdom. You can put a demand on heavenly beings, heavenly creatures. You can begin to put a demand on the living creatures. You can begin to live out of all that is there. And you begin to let heaven invade every circumstance of your life. But we've got to begin to live. The Holy Spirit grants you access to live out of the glory realm. But you cannot be there. It's like this. How many have ever been underwater? How many have never been underwater? How many people have ever been near the water? But you know, when you're underwater, eventually you got to come up. Amen? How many know that? I mean, some can stay a little longer than others. We have those little contests to see who can hang out a little longer and just hold their breath and get a little... But you know, you can't live in that environment because you weren't designed to live there. But you know, if you put on some other stuff, if you clothe yourself with some scuba gear or some other things, you can actually live in that environment because you've clothed yourself to live in another realm. How many know you can't live in outer space? And yet, there's people who do those little spacewalks and all that, but to live in another realm and walk in another environment, you have to be clothed to live in that place. There is a realm called the glory of God, but you can't live there and you can't abide there unless you are constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind and you live clothed in the glory of God. I'm going to wrap it up right here. You ready? It's time to be clothed in power. It's time to be clothed in power. It's time to have the Spirit enable you to enter into all that God has for you. Here's the truth. Now, come on. Some of you are in that place just like Joseph. And right now, I want you to hear that the King is calling for you. It's your time. And you know what? It's time to come out of that place of limitation. And it's time for you to, you know what? Brush your teeth, comb your hair, shave yourself up. Put on those garments, prepare yourself, because it's time for you to live in another realm. It's time for you. I mean, some of you folks are in that other place where there's a great anointing for you, a great glorious anointing for you. But you know what? You got to rend the garments of self. You got to rend the garments of flesh. You got to rend the limitations of your mindsets, because there is a miracle mindset that you must have if you're going to operate in that realm. You must totally attune yourself to the supernatural before you can live in it. And some here today, you need a mindset shift. You need to get that stuff dealt with. And then finally, there's some of you folks, you know what? It's time for you right now. The Spirit of the Lord is ready to come upon you. And there's been some enemies, some difficulties. There's been some attacks on your life and on your household. And you know, it's time for you to let the Spirit of the Lord come on you. It's time to pick up that trumpet and blow. It's time for that breakthrough. It's time for you to start to live in the realm of Transfiguration. Aren't you glad I only gave you one point today? We want to step into the realm of revelation, because there's a realm of revelation that you can be clothed to live in. But you know, before you can step into the realm of revelation, you got to embrace the realm of transformation. Transfiguration. You got to let what's on the inside of you begin to dominate, because there's the Spirit of God in you right now. But you know what? You choose. By your will, you choose who dominates every aspect of your life. You can choose. That's why Paul had to encourage them, put off that old man, put off living out of that realm, and clothe yourself in that newness of God. And you can choose every day to live out of the carnal man or live out of the supernatural. Come on, why don't you stand up with me? We're going to pray. Now, if you need personal prayer for anything today, I mean, we'll stay behind and pray for you. If you need to be clothed today and you say, man, I want to be transformed today. I want to come out of this nasty little shell of this bug that I am. I want to quit living out of my worm mentality. I want to know what it is to fly. I want to know what it is to come up here. We want to pray for you. We want you to live in that breakthrough today. Jesus, Jesus. Well, Father, we bless you. We thank you. We praise you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that this is your word. We thank you, Lord, that what we've shared today, what we've talked about today, it's right from your throne. It's your heart. Lord, I pray what I can't do through the foolishness of preaching, you can do through the wonder of revelation. And you can, Lord, just take the seed, the deposit, the desire of your heart that is for your people today. And would you sink it deep down in their heart? Would it not get lost today? Would the birds of the air not pluck it before they even leave the building? But Lord, would you press this revelation deep down? Would they ponder it? Would they mutter these words? Would they go over it and over it? Because Lord, you want to live out of that. Father, I want to raise up a people that are, that just like they said, looking from the other shore, they looked across and they said, he is clothed with the mantle of Elijah. There was a recognizable, definable, measurable, noticeable change upon his life. And Lord, may that be upon the people of this house. Even in any time, whatever difficulty, whatever place, may this be a people who knows how to live out of the realms of God. Father, may we not be afraid of this realm. May we understand that you want us to enter into it. And he said, "Fear not, little flock, it is my good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And when Jesus took them up this hill, he told them before he took them, he said, "Not many days and you will see the kingdom." And you want us to see, to live out of, to embrace and operate in the realm of the kingdom. Father, forgive us for low living, low giving. Forgive us, Lord, for wallowing as worms when you, Lord, have called us to be transformed. You've called us to fly in the glory and to fly in the realms of all that you desire. So, Lord, I pray that this would go deep in hearts. Lord, I pray we would mutter it. I pray the revelation we continue. It says, to the degree it'll be manifest in our life is directly related to the degree of study that we give to it. And, Lord, may this not be a Sunday sermon. May this not be a little series that we go through. But, Lord, may this be spirit and may it be life. And may every single life literally be transformed. And may we go to another level in you that is so necessary for us to be all you've called us to be in this day. Because the Lord is saying very, very clearly to us that there is a new season that you are now entering into you, and it's a now upon you. And this season demands new clothing. It is a new environment that you've never been in before. And you cannot embrace this environment with the same level that you have been in. But you need to be transformed. You need to embrace transfiguration. For this is a realm that is not common. This is a realm that is not everyday stuff. You have never been this way before. But I will clothe you and I will wrap you in my glory and I will saturate you with my spirit, and the very light of my glory will permeate every aspect of your life. So Father, sink it deep in every life and every heart, I pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now I pray that just the love of our God and our Father, wonderful Father, would just be so evident to each and every one. I pray that the wonderful grace, that fellowship, the favor of my big brother Jesus, that it would be a full expression and full demonstration in every life. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you promised to be with me, that where I am, you are. And that everywhere I am, you are the I am in every situation and circumstance. So continue to manifest. Continue to cause your fellowship to be great, wonderful, and sweet. And may I live out of the glory of that relationship. It's a drinking relationship. May I walk out of it. May I drink deeply of it every moment of the day. So Father, I bless each and every person in this house now. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen.